In sin I wandered, talents I squandered, I did not heed
my brother
him whom
I need him.
Then Jesus found me, from sin unbound me.
Now I'm
telling the world about his love,
his wondrous love. I love to sing about our King,
wonderful King,
and make his praises
gladly to ring.
He gave his life, on Calvary's tree, that we from sin might be made free.
I'm happy to say, I'm on the right way.
I'm on the way
that leads from
night
to perfect day.
There's joy to know,
only I know,
this friend above,
Jesus above.
That's why I'm
telling the world about his love,
his wondrous love.
Since I'm forgiven, I'm facing heaven. Trusting, I pray,
my brother
gladly obey.
My Savior
Jesus is leading, my soul he's feeding,
and I'm
telling the world about his love,
his wondrous love.
I love to sing about our King,
wonderful King,
and make his praises
gladly to ring.
He gave his life
on
Calvary's tree,
that we from sin might be made free.
I'm happy to say, I'm on the right way.
I'm on the way
that leads from
night
to perfect day.
There's joy to know,
only I know,
this friend above,
Jesus above.
That's why I'm
telling the world about his love,
his wondrous love.
There's joy to know,
only I know,
this friend above,
Jesus above.
That's why I'm
telling the world about his love,
his wondrous love.
So, we are beginning another section of our study of the last week of the life of Jesus. We are looking at Judas at the Last Supper. Now, we're going to, in the next few weeks, be doing a study of the Last Supper, the event of that. But in the ongoing process here, we are going to be touching on Judas exiting that Last Supper. We're going to look at just a couple of events and point out a couple of things, but let me take a moment to welcome you to the program. Make sure that you know that you are involved in what matters. That is a study of the Word of God that can shape your heart and your life as it needs to be. Here on the Word of Life, that's what we're about, is making sure that what is said, what is done, is what God says. So let's agree on that. And let's move forward with our study. Now, in the gospel accounts, in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are, in all four accounts, a recording of the events of the night before Jesus' crucifixion. Matthew, Mark, and Luke, out of those three, Matthew and Mark make a shorter presentation, and Luke makes a slightly longer presentation of the events. Luke includes some of the portrayal of the Passover meal itself and of a discussion that took place after. And Matthew and Mark are very abbreviated in that respect. With the Gospel of John, we run into another thing, and that's a very interesting aspect of these four Gospels being seen as a unit, a stereo picture of Jesus. From John chapter 13 to John chapter 17, we have a statement that includes events that are not detailed in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Now, there are room in those accounts for these events to have taken place that night. So we don't see a conflict between Matthew, Mark, and Luke on one side and the Gospel of John on the other. If John is writing after the writing of Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he perhaps was thinking, now I say perhaps and mark that, perhaps he was thinking that there is a side to this supper that has not been completely told, and he needs to tell that side. Because if you notice here in John chapter 13, begins with the statement about Jesus loving his disciples. Verse 1 is where that takes place. If you remember last Lord's Day, we studied in Luke 22 how Satan entered Judas Iscariot. Look at verse 2 of John 13. During supper, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him. See, this is reflecting the events and the statements of the other Gospels. Jesus gets up from supper and he washes the feet of all these disciples. Now, it's very important that you understand one specific point in relation to our talking about Judas. And we're talking, remember, about how all the time that Jesus was going through the events of the last week, Judas was plotting to betray him. The Jews were looking for a way, an avenue of betrayal, and Judas became that avenue. Now, with that said, understand that the event that begins in verse 5 with the pouring of water into a basin and Jesus doing the work of a servant, washing the feet of these men, he washed Judas' feet too. He washed the feet of this one that he knew would betray him. And we're going to see that he knew that Judas was the one that was going to betray him. It's an interesting study here, the events of that night and the washing of the feet. And we'll do that in just a few weeks as we continue this study. But I want you to notice just the event so that we've got a context for what we're going to read in just a moment. The event of the washing takes place. Verse 12 and following record Jesus as explaining why he was doing this. You call me teacher and Lord, and you're right. But if I'm among you as one who serves, what else could you do? That's what Jesus is talking to them about. Now, at the end of that statement, we pick up reading in verse 21. And we're going to read right now from John chapter 13, verse 21, all the way down to verse 30. Let's read that together. The text is very powerful here. John chapter 13, beginning at verse 21. When Jesus had said this, he became troubled in spirit and testified and said, "Truly, truly, I say to you that one of you will betray me." The disciples began looking at one another, at a loss to know of which one he was speaking. There was, reclining on Jesus' bosom, one of his disciples, whom Jesus loved. So Simon Peter gestured to him and said to him, "Tell us who it is of whom he is speaking." He, leaning back thus on Jesus' bosom, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus then answered, "That is the one for whom I shall dip the morsel and give it to him." So when he had dipped the morsel, he took and gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. After the morsel, Satan then entered into him. Therefore Jesus said to him, "What you do, do quickly." Now no one of those reclining at the table knew for what purpose he had said this to him. For some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, "Buy the things we have need of for the feast," or else that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel, Judas went out immediately, and it was night. Now, in that event recorded there, we see the awareness of Jesus of the betrayer's presence, the awareness of Jesus of the very fact that the betrayal would take place. And he knew when it was going to take place, the night that it was going to take place. The interesting thing about this that has always intrigued me is that Peter asked the question of John the Apostle. Now we find that out from John chapter 21, that is who this was. John 20 and 21 both will back that up. But as we look at this, Peter asked John to quiz Jesus about who this is that's going to betray him. The bread that's dipped into the bowl is handed to Judas, just like Jesus says. And yet, the apostles don't understand. Now, I don't know exactly what was going on then, but let me tell you something. When God speaks, he speaks clearly. You and I look at this and we see, well, there's no way they couldn't know. But there are times in Scripture when people are prevented from seeing that immediate truth. And I want you to understand what would have happened if they had realized that Judas was going to betray Jesus. Even though Jesus gave the clear statement, if they had got a hold of this in their mind, the attitude that was expressed in the garden prayer, remember during the prayer when the ones who were going to arrest Jesus came, the first thing that Peter did was whip out the sword that he had and try to kill those who were taking Jesus. What would have happened in the supper this night if all 11 of the other apostles had said, Judas, you're going to betray Jesus? They could have killed him, and everything would have stopped until God worked it out another way. Let's just understand something here. Even though we do some supposing with this, you and I both understand how the minds of people work. Have you ever asked a question and been told an answer and it just didn't register? You just didn't get it? That's happened to me, and it's probably happened to you too. That night was a mix of emotions. These men had seen a lot of things, and during the week they had seen both love and acceptance of Jesus and the hate that comes toward Jesus too. The ups and downs emotionally, spiritually, and psychologically, however you want to describe it, that these men endured left them a little bit frazzled. In fact, frazzled enough, that's an old word, frazzled, worn out, frazzled enough that when Jesus asked them to watch with him in prayer in the garden, they were so wearied that they fell asleep. Now, you wouldn't do that on purpose to somebody, but sometimes it happens. So let's just get it in our heads that what was going on here was a very confusing time. In the very next chapter, in John chapter 14, when Jesus begins to talk about this again, Thomas just looks Jesus in the eye and says, we don't know where you're going. How do we know the way? You know, the struggle they had was to put into their heads and hearts what this Savior was revealing. And it's not an easy task. So what we see here is the struggle that they had to get a hold of this. Jesus never backed down from answering the question, but they just didn't have the tools yet to understand. The event continues with Judas being told to do what he's going to do very quickly. And that's where we're going to pick up in just a few moments after we listen to a song.
Who am I that the Lord of all the earth would care to know my name, would care to feel my hurt? Who am I that the bright and morning star would choose to light the way for my ever wandering heart? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow, a wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling, Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me?
because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you've told me who I am. A vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours.
So in all of this, what we see is that there was a lot of confusion on the part of the disciples. I would imagine that another thing that's entered your mind is that there is a statement in verse 27, after the morsel, Satan then entered into him, that is to Judas. That's been said already, hadn't it, back in verse 2. It's been said in the Gospels, a Gospel account of Luke. What we understand is that perhaps there was a battle going on in Judas' heart and head. Now think about this. If you were approaching betraying somebody that and I really believe this, that you loved like Judas did. I don't doubt that Judas had love at some level for Jesus, because Judas had seen him. Now, he might have resented Jesus. He might have not chosen the way that Jesus would have chosen. I mean, there's all kinds of things we can throw in here. But it would not be out of place to say that Judas had a love for Jesus that might have made him question his decision. Should I not? In the midst of that battle, is it possible that at times he was swayed more towards not betraying Jesus, letting Jesus have more control, and then he would go back and Satan would enter him again? It's absolutely possible. I don't know that that's what happened. I'm just saying it's a possibility. So when we see again here that Jesus has given this morsel of bread to Judas, what we see in verse 27 is that Jesus directly addresses Judas and says to him, "What you do, do quickly." Now, Judas probably knew what Jesus meant. Jesus knew what Jesus meant. Again, the 11 did not have a clue as to what Jesus meant. Because look at verse 29. Now realize that in verse 29, John is talking about himself and 10 other followers of Jesus. Verse 29 simply makes a statement. Some were supposing, because Judas had the money box, that Jesus was saying to him, "Buy the things we have need of for the feast," or else that he should give something to the poor. Now, does that give you the idea, by the way, that giving to the poor was something Jesus had done before? He probably had told them, "We need to take care of this, we need to take care of that." Jesus didn't use miraculous powers just to provide all kinds of money for everybody. That wasn't how things worked. It's through what we learn by giving that we are benefited. So Jesus used that to teach. Remember that. But the expectation was that Judas would get done what he was going to do. Look at verse 30. After receiving the morsel, Judas went out immediately, and it was night. Now, there are several ways that it was night, and I want to mention just two of them real quickly. Time-wise, it was night. This was the evening of the night before Jesus was crucified. And what we're looking at here is a time when the feast had been going for quite some time, and it had a little while longer to go. Balance of John chapter 13 all the way through chapter 17. Then there's the several hours of prayer in the garden, all these things still to be done, the trials overnight and all this. All of these things were taking place, so it was night. But it also became night for Judas, because Judas apparently had entered a spot where he would not return again to the fold of Jesus. Now, I say that because we'll see his reaction as he realizes the condemnation of Jesus as things progress. And his reaction is not the reaction of a disciple. So what we understand here is that Jesus clearly identified, clearly confronted, and Judas went on his way. What about you? Have you ever considered yourself to have betrayed Jesus? I would like to ask that question simply because as we look at the story of Judas' betrayal, so many people say, well, yeah, I've betrayed Jesus before, but in all honesty, now think just a minute about this. Isn't what you and I have done before very much closer to what Simon Peter did rather than Judas? You see, Judas betrayed Jesus to the point of death. And if you remember, and we're going to note this in Scripture as our studies continue, but if you remember, what happened with Judas was that in Matthew 27, when he saw Jesus was going to be condemned, he comes to the temple, throws the money down, says he's betrayed innocent blood, and he commits suicide. Now, Peter, on the other hand, who three times is confronted and asked about whether he has been with Jesus, whether he's a part of Jesus' group, he denies it. Notice that when he is finally confronted with the rooster crowing, he goes out and weeps bitterly. There's a difference between the two, isn't there? Now I ask you again, have you ever betrayed Jesus? Are there times in your life when you feel closer to him, times in your life when you feel further from him? Have you battled this battle? Have you wanted to do the right thing, but you just seemingly just don't have the ability to consistently do it? Let me tell you what, when the Bible says, and this is Peter speaking in 1 Peter chapter 5, and the statement he makes about Satan is very revealing. Satan goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Do you think that Peter spoke that from experience? He'd been chewed on a little bit. Peter had been chewed on several times in his life, denying that Jesus would ever go to the crucifixion, denying that he knew Jesus. Various statements that we could look at and struggles that Peter had. Isn't that closer to what we do and the struggle that we have? We'll have a few concluding thoughts in a couple of minutes. Let's listen to another song.
And can it be that I should gain an interest in my Savior's blood? Died he for me who caused his pain? For me who scorn his perfect love. Amazing love, how can it be that you, my God, would die for me? Amazing love, how can it be? Die for me. You left your Father's throne above, so free and infinite your grace, emptied yourself of all but love, and bled for amazing love, how can it be that you, my God,
die for me. Amazing love.
Let's be honest about this as far as talking about the betrayal that both Judas and Peter had accomplished. We really are closer then to what Peter had done than we are to what Judas had done. John chapter 18 records a very interesting statement about these two paths that were available this night. And this is one of those other statements about Judas and about his actions that night and about Jesus and his actions that night. We read in John 18, 1 through 3, these words. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went forth with his disciples over the ravine of the Kidron, where there was a garden in which he entered with his disciples. Now Judas also, who was betraying him, knew the place, for Jesus had often met there with his disciples. Judas then, having received the Roman cohort and officers from the chief priests and the Pharisees, came there with lanterns and torches and weapons. Now you recognize this as the event of the Garden of Gethsemane. John doesn't deal in great detail with the garden. But I want you to notice the two paths that are here. They're reflected in John 13 that we just read, where Jesus stayed at the Last Supper and Judas left. Jesus stayed so that he could walk the path of chapter 18, verse 1. After the prayer that he offered that's recorded in John 17, Jesus walked across the Kidron Valley and up the Mount of Olives into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed for hours. Judas, on the other hand, in verse 2 and 3, went to the Jews, began to unfold the plan in their mind. We're going to the garden. The Roman soldiers, the Jewish temple guards, the rest of the crowd, then walked with Judas to the garden. What we see here is that every choice takes you to a different place. There are choices that you have to make today. You need to make the right choice. Follow the way of Jesus. Next week on the Word of Life, we'll continue our study and we'll see some light on Jesus' life. Join us then.